This fall, millions of college freshmen will be toting around that Bible of English verse, the Norton Anthology of Modern and Contemporary Poetry. Norton published its first poetry anthology in 1973. It's only been revised once since then. That was back in 1988. But now there's a new third edition, and the collection has been divided into two volumes, Modern Poetry and Contemporary Poetry, for the first time. The modern volume starts in the 19th century with Walt Whitman, and the contemporary volume begins with 20th century poet Charles Olson. There are some 1,600 poems by nearly 200 poets, half of them new to the Norton collection. The two-year-long task of editing and revising the anthology was undertaken by Jahan Ramazani, a professor of English at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. He was a protege of the late Richard Ellman at Oxford University, who had co-edited the two earlier editions. Ramazani approached the job with some trepidation.
It seemed like a huge honor, of course, a great opportunity for me to remap the field, bring in more global writers, more experimental writers. But it also seemed quite terrifying, to be honest, because I had to ask myself, well, you know, had I really read enough? Did I know enough to choose the best poems in English?
Feeling like a freshman, facing nearly 1,600 poems all demanding to be heard, we began with William Butler Yeats and his poem, The Lake Isle of Innisfree, because Ramazani just happened to have a recording of Yeats's reading of the poem around the turn of the last century.
The poem that Yeats said was his first lyric with anything in its rhythm of his own music. And I think you can hear in the reading, the almost sort of chanted reading, how he wanted to accentuate the music of the verse.
I will arise and go now, for always night and day I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore, while I stand on the roadway or on the pavement's gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core.
He sounds somewhere between an English, I think, and an Irish accent here. And it's, in some ways, a kind of personal reverie, a Thoreau-like dream of living in self-sufficiency on an island, a reverie about the power of the imagination to refashion, remake the world. But it also has, I think, some political resonances. So here he is imagining an island free and unto itself. And when you remember that Ireland, of course, was being denied at this point its right to self-determination, it doesn't take a genius to see that there's kind of political dimension as well to the poem.
The way that you revised this anthology, how did you go about deciding what poems to exclude and what new poems to add?
Well, it was incredibly difficult, of course. I asked myself, was this poem boldly imaginative? Was it formally skillful? Was it responsive to the history of its time? Was its choice of words exciting? And did it have that psychological complexity and emotional richness that we look for in poetry?
Moving on to the contemporary section, Jahan, what I'm thinking of as I flip through it, you have defined this anthology in terms of English-speaking poetry, mm-hmm. and there's just a very wide range of people.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. I think that's some of the great excitement, particularly in the period after the Second World War. We used to have a fairly provincial understanding, I think, of poetry in English as being largely American English and Irish. But I think one of the most exciting things that happens in poetry in English after World War II is the development of poetries from that come out of the former colonies of the British Empire, such as in Africa, the Caribbean, Indian subcontinent, as these poets quite brilliantly, I think, hybridize various indigenous traditions with English and American literary inheritances.
In the first part of this anthology, we have poets born after 1910. One of the first ones we come to in this anthology is Louise Bennett, who's born in 1919, and she writes in Creole. She hails mm-hmm. from Jamaica. Tell us more about her.
Well, she's popularly known as Miss Lou, and she's quite beloved in Jamaica. She strikes me as extremely important as a poet who helps to claim the wit, the vibrancy, and the proverbial richness of West Indian English for poetry. Of course, Creole or Jamaican English was long seen as a corruption of English, but I think we hear in her poetry that actually it's a wonderfully expressive language, and perhaps we can hear that in her performance of one of her poems.
All right, this one is called Colonization in Reverse.
Oh, no, see how life is funny? You see the turnabout? Jamaica live for box bread out of English people mouth. What the devil meant to England? Them face war, them brave the worst. But I wonder how them guys stand colonizing in reverse.
Of all the poems that you've included in here, what would you say is the most recent, the most sort of on the wing right now?
Sorry, I was trying to think of which one poem of the 1,600 poems I would want to pick out. It's just impossible for me. But Lee Young Lee is one of the great poets, I think, of what I think of as the East Asian diaspora in the U.S. He was born to Chinese parents in Indonesia. He came to the States when he was a boy still. And I think his poetry powerfully explores that kind of cultural and linguistic in-betweenness. Probably Lee Young Lee's best-known poem is called Persimmons, and it's about the painful experience of a young boy who had an imperfect grasp of the English language as a spoken language. And so he finds himself being punished by his teacher. And over the course of the poem, however, he demonstrates sort of retrospectively his own superior mastery, as it were, of English. In sixth grade, Mrs. Walker slapped the back of my head and made me stand in the corner for not knowing the difference between persimmon and precision. How to choose persimmons? This is precision. Ripe ones are soft and brown spotted. Sniff the bottoms, the sweet one will be fragrant. How to eat? Put the knife away, lay down newspaper. Peel the skin tenderly, not to tear the meat.
Well, it's a fantastic collection. It's definitely wonderful to think that the Norton Anthology is not like some old book that never gets updated. We're glad that it's a living testament to the poetic word, and we thank you very, very much for being with us, Jahan Ramazani, the editor of the latest edition of the Norton Anthology of Modern and Contemporary Poetry. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.